Hi, welcome to Poets Tree. My name is Paul Hamilton, and I am a poet. Time, like a rancid stallion, gallops along the bridle path of our rotting lives. Whinnying or losing, we are all saddled, spurred on by time's fetlock, which like a wet rock ties me to me. Time. You tie me, time. You, time. You tie tiny me, tiny, tiny me, time. You tie tiny me to me. Time. Time. A poem I wrote as a response to the universal terror of slipping into an eternal void. And I don't mean an evening watching Big Brother. Tonight on Poets Tree, I'll be presenting a report from the infamous Haldane Youth Offenders Institution. But for the moment, let's stick with the theme of fear. You heard my poem Time there, and every Tom, Dick and Harriet fears growing old. But what is it that poets fear most? Writer's block? A reduction in the acuity of perception? You'd think so, but you would be wrong. For what most fills us wizards of the word with absolute dread is the thought of having to find a rhyme for the word orange. And I'm quite clammy just imagining it.
Orange, corange, dorange.
Nothing rhymes with orange, everyone knows that. That's the point of it.
Gorange, orange, jorange.
Are you filming this? Is this for an advert?
I like an orange. I have one every day at 4 o'clock.
Corange with a K. Orange, jorange.
There are no words that rhyme with orange.
Lorange, morange, norange.
Well, now you're asking. Orange.
Orange, quarange. Rorange.
I wandered lonely as an orange. Doesn't work, does it?
Warange, yorange, sorange. No.
So why does nothing rhyme with orange? I'm joined by Sarah McCorkey, who is, and I must admit that at first I suspected the producer was having a joke at my expense, a fruit linguist. Anyway, here she is, in the flesh, looking ripe. Sarah McCorkey, fruit linguist. Hello, Sarah.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
No, it's my pleasure. So, what exactly, pray tell, is a fruit linguist?
Well,
you're not going to tell us you speak Appleese or some obscure Plumian dialect, are you?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
No, my area of expertise is in the nature of the names of fruit.
Mm-hmm.
What can the way that fruits are named tell us about the concerns of the time in which they were first cultivated or discovered, for example?
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. So why then is orange such a unique word? It's really out there on its own. Simply nothing rhymes with
it. No, that's not strictly true.
Oh, no. Believe me, Sarah, I have been trying to rhyme something with orange for most of my adult life, and it just can't be done.
What about lozenge?
Oh, now, not the old lozenge ploy.
Why not? I think lozenge rhymes with orange.
Well, it's a nice try, but I'd say it's a half rhyme at best.
No. Na-na-na-na orange, na-na-na-na lozenge.
No, actually quite interesting, because the lozenge-orange rhyming debate raged for centuries, but it's been pretty universally agreed in the most esteemed of poetry circles since the late 1920s that, sadly, it's a definitive no-no.
Mm. Lozenge, orange, it rhymes.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'll very regretfully have to pull rank on that one. Don't hate me! Anyway, tell us, where does such a unique word get its sound from?
Well, I don't know why you're being so stubborn, because lozenge is a perfectly good rhyme for orange.
Oh, now you're not going to swallow this lozenge idea, are you? Okay, Sarah, look, let's, for the sake of argument, imagine me giving you the benefit of the doubt. But still, even so, in real terms, under what circumstances are the words orange and lozenge ever likely to appear in the same poem?
Well, in a poem about an orange-flavoured lozenge.
Right. Well, that's kind of my point. But listen, let's get out of this bloody lozenge pit. And let me ask you, Sarah, with regard to orange, what came first? The name of the fruit or the colour?
It's difficult to say.
Well, it's even more difficult to rhyme it with anything.
Well, you know what I think about that.
Well, I definitely do, but good, because part of poetry's brief is to stimulate debate. And I think we've certainly opened up a can of very orange-coloured worms on this particular topic tonight. And listeners, please let me know what you think by dropping me a line or emailing me here at poetstree. Have you ever been driven mad by trying to write a poem where it was necessary to face the impossible horror of attempting to rhyme orange with another word? I'd love to hear from you. And meanwhile, thank you, fruit linguist Sarah McCorkey.
Poets Tree.
I labour in the hot, white sun. It burns me like a brand. Breaking stones, they break my bones here in Van Diemen's Land. And demons there be plenty, with bullwhip, chain and chod. The chod man chods me merciless and fells me to the sod. The Urchin's Lament by Tom Hutchins, who was only 12 when he wrote that ballad, having been transported to an Australian penal colony. And a chod, by the way, was a small stick with a nail in it. And Tom's crime? Stealing a biscuit from a dead man. But, on the other hand, at least the experience brought out the poet in him. For this week's Poetry in Extremis slot, I went to find out if the modern penal system is having a similarly inspirational effect on today's young offenders.
Why does an adolescent set fire to his geography classroom, and then his geography teacher, and then his geography teacher's wife and parents? What is going through a 16-year-old's mind when he subjects a plumber in his own parents' home to a degrading 17-hour ordeal of sexual torture? It's these and other questions I ponder here at the Haldane Young Offenders Institution near Folkestone. My visit begins with a chat with offender rehabilitation counsellor Stephen Cochrane. Let's make our way to his office.
Stephen, you've been working here with extremely violent and disturbed teenage boys for 8 years now. Tell us a bit about the kind of kids you're dealing with.
It could be argued that most of them are beyond help.
Mm-hmm. Well, it must be very hard working against such cynicism.
Well,
I mean, I noticed that you employ a wide range of programs and workshops designed to help these young men reintegrate back into normal society. But I see that none of them involves poetry.
No. Sadly, I don't think they'd,
Well, if I were to tell you that I stoutly believe that poetry can potentially soften even the hardest of hearts, and that these boys are no exception, what would you say?
Good luck.
It seemed that Stephen thought I was taking on quite a challenge, and he wasn't wrong. The first young man I met, on my insistence the most violent, currently serving time at Haldane, is a serial offender, halfway through a 7-year sentence for breaking into London Zoo and taking a sledgehammer to some elephants. I met him in Stephen's office, flanked by two very wary prison officers.
Hi, my name is Paul Hamilton, and
why
I am a...
As you could hear, that particular encounter proved to be a very short-lived one, not to mention painful, and I've still got the bruises to prove it. Pretty frustrating. So, I decided to take the bull by the horns. Perhaps, I thought, if I faced a group of them en masse, I might be able to somehow get them to spark off each other. And I have to say, Walking into that common room, I did feel rather like Daniel going into a very large lion's den.
Hi, boys. If you could, hi, my name is Paul Hamilton, and I am a poet. And I'm going to read you some poems, but no, chill out. They aren't about flowers or clouds. They're about real life. Your life. Your lives. And this one's by the hip-hop street poet DJ Verse. Okay, one, two, three, four. Don't do the crime, I just do the rhyme. When you're thinking of fighting, just start the writing. Don't do the crack, do the paperback.
Pretty hard going. So, I decided to go with the flow and invite them to express themselves verbally in any way they wanted, with no holding back.
Anyone?
I reviewed the day's sessions with the redoubtable Stephen Cochrane.
Well, Stephen, they've certainly proved to be pretty hard to get through to, but the way I look at it is this. If I made just one boy think about poetry for just one moment...
I actually think that's pretty unlikely.
Well, the way I look at it is this. Even if, just for one second, one of those boys entertained the idea of the potential of meaningful expression...
Right, sorry, it sounds like there's some trouble. Excuse me. Right.
I came away from Haldane pretty disheartened. Had my visit been in vain? But then... a rather magical thing happened. When I got home, I found a note slipped into my pocket from one of the boys. I have it here, and it says, "Poem wanker, you'll be dead when I get out and shoot you in the head." And yes, it is, I suppose, a death threat, and one that I have been obliged, after taking legal advice, to pass on to the Kent Police for analysis. But... it makes me very happy and not a little proud that this particular death threat rhymes.
Poet's Tree.
Well, that's nearly all for this week, but there's just time for me to thank teenager Toby Brunswick of Stoke Newington for sending me a stark but very effective couplet. It reads, "When will all the fighting cease? When will we all live in peace?" Wonderful, Toby. Thank you so much. And I'm sure you will join me in hoping that my final poem tonight, which I penned in 1995, is as much a sober reminder of the potential horror that hangs above us all as it was just over a decade ago. This poem is called Hiroshima. Till next week. 50 years ago today. Hush. Boom. Loud. Mush. Room. Cloud. Spreads like claret on gingham. Hiroshima! Good night.
Poet's Tree was written by Kevin Eldon and Stuart Lee and produced by Ed Morrish.